How many are ready for a word from the Lord? Oh no, I'm going home. How many are ready for a word from the Lord? There we go. We love the word of the Lord, and today I am honored to share one with you. This is something the Lord put on my heart even last night as we finished this series and move into another one filled with honor. Today I'd like to speak to you about honor. I want to talk to you how we can become the great servant that God called us to do, called us to be, the person that God has called us to become that servant of a pure heart, a servant who walks with the Lord with knowledge and wisdom. Ladies and gentlemen, today I want to talk with you about serving with honor. Can you repeat that with me? Serving with honor. Last week we talked about there are three types of sanctification. There is immediate, meaning the moment you give your life to Jesus, immediately you're born again. There's ongoing, as you learn more and more about Jesus, your life begins to take away the things that drag you down, and you begin to pick up all of the spiritual attributes that push you forward. And then there's final sanctification, whereas when Jesus comes back on that great cloud and raptures us up into glory, that we may be with him forever. But ladies and gentlemen, our purpose is to be more and more like him, to be a servant like him, and to be his servants. Now, like you, we grew up in a world where to be the best, you've got to be Lord over other people. You tell them what to do. You have the strongest personality. You can push people and make them do what you want. And that's exactly how the world operates. You get ahead in the companies you are if you're a go-getter, aggressive, even if you have to step on people. But it is not so in the kingdom of heaven. In the kingdom of heaven, it's the opposite. In the kingdom of heaven, we serve, and that's how we discover greatness. Once we understand that to have a pure heart is to give all of our issues over to God, to serve him, to enter into his high mountain with a pure heart and clean hands, then we become his servants. But then how do you serve with honor? It's funny, when I read in Mark chapter 10, it tells a story of James and John, and they wanted to know, when they came to Jesus, they said, Jesus, hey, listen, bro, that's a Steve H. version, and they said, hey, when you get into your kingdom, let me get the right hand, and James said, let me get the left hand. We want to be in the place of honor when you get there. We want to be in the seats right next to you. We want everybody to see us. Can we get those seats? And even their mother came and said, come on, Jesus, now, my boys, you took them away from my husband Zebedee, and you owe me one. It's not in the Bible. I'm just making that up. But anyway, she did ask. And her mind was, hey, these kids, I want them to have a successful life. So place them on the right and on the left. Give them honor. And it's funny what Jesus said to them. Jesus said, listen, you want a place of honor? Are you able to go through what I went through? Are you able to suffer like I suffered? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism that I had to go through? The baptism he went through was the cross. He says, can you be that person and be like me, who at the Last Supper sat down, took off his robe, and washed everyone's feet, and said, if I be the greatest among you, wash your feet, then you should be servants among the others. By this example shall men know that you are my disciples, because you serve one another. It matters what we do. A true servant of God will think differently than other people. In other words, today, I'm going to ask that you write some things down. If you have your pen and paper in the back of your seat, there's a message note so you can keep notes on today's lesson. But I want to share with you something, and I want to ask you to do something for me. I want you to check the reasons you do what you do. Check the reasons that you do what you do. See, here's what I understood. You have to honor God from your heart. It's got to come from here. Here's one thing I learned about leaders. Here's how, there's a difference between how leaders think and how servants think. Leaders think like this: what can these people do for me? A leader would say, I'm looking at these people, I've got to do something. What can these people do for me? That's how the world looks at it. But a servant thinks differently. They say, what can I do for these people? Jesus was the ultimate servant. My goal for you is to obtain your, is to help you obtain your inheritance. God has something just for you that only God can give to you. And my goal is to serve you so that you might find that thing that God gave you. This is why you look around. We have our mission and our vision and our values. We have why we reach, raise, and release people into the kingdom of God. We lay it out so it's easy to understand that we are here to serve you, not to lead you and you follow us. A great servant serves so they follow him. Somebody say amen. I read from Joshua chapter 1. Can we go to Joshua chapter 1, please? And I want to read what it says. Joshua chapter 1. If you will. And it says this. After the death of Moses, everyone say this with me, the Lord's servant. Say that again.
The Lord's servant.
Now, if you're going to give a title to Moses, what title would you give him? Well, according to this text, he got one. He was the Lord's servant. Are you serious? The man who led over a quarter of a million people across the wilderness out of bondage? And the title he got is servant. But the interesting thing, he was the Lord's servant. And here's what it says. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. So what was Joshua's title? Assistant servant. Could you imagine that? The second most powerful person in the nation of Israel was an assistant servant. They didn't take the role of king, ruler, or master. Again, remember what I asked. Check why you do what you do. Is it so that people can look at you and honor you? Or is it that you want to do just what the Lord wants you to do? If he gives you the title servant, you're happy. There is no greater title in kingdom other than the Lord's servant. The Bible says that Moses was the meekest man in all the earth. Why? Because to be meek is to put your will down and pick his will up, and you don't have a problem with it. He was called the Lord's servant. But how many times when we look into our culture and our world, that's not how we treat it? If I call you servant, what's your initial reaction? In the world, servant, I went to school for 12 years. I started my company from... So... Listen, you couldn't have done it if God didn't wake you up in the morning. Hello, somebody. Man, if he ain't give you another day to survive, you wouldn't have done it. So we have to get that our thinking has to be switched. from trying to be the best in the room. You ever gone in a conversation and you go, man, the Lord blessed me today. I prayed for this person. They got a healing. And then you got a person over here. Well, you know, last week I prayed for three people. And then a person over here, hey, I prayed for a dead man and he rose from the dead. It was me. And we do this one-upsman, even in the kingdom. I see it all the time. And it's because of this. Flesh. Ah. We want to be somebody. We want to go somewhere. We want to be known. Don't you know who I am? Don't get me twisted. You know what I'm saying? I'm Bishop Yates. Listen, I'll tell anybody in a heartbeat. Listen, I may walk in the office of the bishop. My calling is apostolic. But at the end of the day, I'm just a servant of the Lord. And if I say that, who among us has the right to demand anything more? If I'm the head of this house and my greatest title in this house is servant of the Most High God, then who should take a title greater than that? We are to serve one another, but the titles do the work. Be a servant. Listen, there's enough titles out there. Man, you go to some towns, everybody's a prophet. I'm Prophet Jones. I'm Prophet Jonette. I'm Prophet Bob. I'm Prophet Steve. Listen, can anybody just be servant? David said, I would be happy if I could just be an usher in the house of the Lord. Just let me be in the house. Oh, come on, somebody. When you get to the point you are happy to come in the house of the Lord, you're getting there. You're getting there. You're getting there. Yeah, getting closer. If I could just serve the Almighty God, if I can serve the Omnipotent One, the Ancient of Days, you ain't got to call me nothing. Just let me be. Come on, somebody. Because either I'm going to do this with a title or not. Steve A's going to do it regardless. And if your leader would say that to you, how much more should you do it? We've got too much struggles over titles when God doesn't care about that. Man, wouldn't it be awesome in church if we got people just celebrating? Man, they called me assistant servant today. I tell you, we turn the world upside down, wouldn't we? I was just promoted to assistant servant today. Watch this. The thing that blows my mind is that Joshua, because he was an assistant servant, God said, Moses, my servant, is dead. But as I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. It is the servant among us that matters the most. Here's what I've learned about leadership. A leader may do things for his own promotion, but a servant does it so God can get promoted. Did you see how I cleaned the room over here? You like it? Yeah. Did you see how I did the garbage out there? I cleaned everything up, but you like it, don't you? You like it? But if I don't see it, would you do it? See, this is where integrity really comes in. Would you do it if no one acknowledged you at all? Amen. This is a real deal question. Because you know how many people leave church because they don't get acknowledged? No, come on, can we just be honest? People dip because we don't acknowledge them. And it's not them, it's the title they're looking for. Watch this. I love this. So we hear in the scriptures, it says this, 1 Thessalonians 5:19. I want you to remember this. It'll be a foundational thought. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 19. And we're going to read from the King James, if you would. King James on this one. To be a servant, we must endeavor to avoid what is found in this text. Would you read with me on this? It says, quench not the spirit. Say it again.
Quench not the Spirit
of God. How does a person actually quench the Spirit of God? Well, here's something I learned. First of all, we must understand what quench means. It's the idea of extinguishing, putting out, snuffing out, smothering, dousing, dampening down. Flames that were once fiery, we quench with buckets of water. But I want you to look at another term for quenching. It means this also. In science, when a material experiences a quenching, it is a rapid cooling of it in water, oil, or air to prevent undesired transformation from occurring. In other words, to quench means you douse it so that the change doesn't happen. See, there's when the Holy Ghost is in the room, he brings about transformation. But when pride comes into a room, it will quench the spirit and stop the transformation. In fact, when you take a steel bar and it's heated and it's ready to be shaped or formed, but you douse it in water, it hardens itself. So when we quench the spirit, we don't only quench the spirit from transforming us, but our hearts become hardened. All because we have to understand what it means to be servants. It brings, quenching brings what was about to be transformed down to the room temperature. Wow. Means the lowest denominator in the room, you become just like that. It brings you down to just room temperature when we stop what the Holy Spirit is doing in us because we're looking for a title. How should we view ourselves? I want you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew 23, verses 4 through 12. And I want to show you how Jesus put it. I'm just going to do it very quickly. And it says this about the Pharisees. They bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders. But they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. They tell you what to do, but they won't do it. But all their works they do to be what? Seen of men. I want you to notice me. I'm holy. Do you see that? Follow me. I'm giving to the poor. We do it so that people can see us. But it's not us. It's not really us. And Jesus spoke of the Pharisees and Sadducees, and they say this. But all their works they do to be seen of men, they make broad their phylacteries, which are belts, and they enlarge the borders of their garments. They wear the most outrageous outfits so that you can know that they're part of the holy garments, the holy people. They love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues
and greetings in the market. Hey, bishop. Hey, pastor. Hey, elder. Hey, leader. How are you? Hey, that's doctor. That's so. They love it. They love people acknowledging what they've achieved for themselves. But he says this, and they call them rabbi, rabbi. But be ye not called rabbis, for one is your master, even Christ, and ye are all brethren. And call no man father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. Neither be called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. Now here it is. Everyone read with me. Do you see that? You want to know who's the greatest among us? Look who serves the most. It may not be the one with the title. It might be the one who's willing to give up the most and not care who's watching. He goes on to say, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. So how do we become a great servant? What do we need to do? What's the key to becoming the greatest servant we can be? I want you to write this down. The key to be the greatest servant is to understand the concept of honor. Honor. What do I mean by that? I break honor into two parts: attitudes and actions. Attitudes and actions. Many people don't talk about honor, but honor is critical for you to be a servant in the house of the Lord. What do I mean by that? I want you to turn to Luke chapter 14, verse 8. If you want honor in the house of the Lord, I'm going to talk about attitudes. If you want honor in the house of the Lord, don't demand it. Let it be given to you. If you take it, that's you. If it's given to you, that's honor. I want you to read this verse. It says, when you are invited to a wedding feast, don't sit in the seat of honor. What if someone who is more distinguished than you has also been invited? They will ask you to move and sit, and you will be ashamed. Anybody ever had that happen to me? I was so ashamed. I remember coming up, and you know me, I just like being in the front. I came to this church, they're having service. I'm like, man, I'm going to sit up there in the front row. And I went on up to the front row, sat down right in the middle. And the preacher came out, and he kind of looked at me. And the ushers came on over and said, sir, you are in the wrong seat. I'm going to have to put you in the back. And all the way there, all I could hear was shame, shame, shame. Shame. I said, never again. Everywhere we go now, I go, don't sit in the front. Let's sit in the back. Let them call us forward. See, don't take honor. Let people give you honor. Don't demand honor. Let people put it on you. When you start demanding honor, that means you have too much pride. And pride cometh before the fall. That means you're guaranteed to fall. You know, you're guaranteed to fall. So you let someone else give it to you. Number two, write this down. We're going to go to John 5 and 44. I want you to put honor back on your daily radar. Put honor back on your daily radar. Here's what Jesus said. He says, no wonder you can't believe, for you gladly honor each other, but you don't even care about the honor that comes from the one who alone is God. You'll take a title quickly from each other. You love it. But when was the last time you said, God, does what I do honor you? Am I living honorably before you? Would you say that I'm honorable? Would out of your mouth today, by my behavior, say, I got to honor this boy. I got to honor this woman. Or are you just satisfied with the show? Put back on your daily radar, no more. I'm not going to keep looking for men to affirm me, women to affirm me. No. Let God do it. Let God promote you. You don't have to fight with people. You don't have to argue with people. You don't have to kick people to get promoted. Listen, you serve people and God will promote you. He will validate you in front of men. When they have talked about you and they have criticized you because you became a servant, God says, I've got to honor this person. I'm going to come in and show everybody my hand is upon this person. When was the last time God validated you in front of people? That is a position of power. We must strive to receive God's honor first because men's honor is fleeting. It comes and goes like politics and rain and clouds. Some days it rains on you and other days it ain't nothing but thunder. We want God's honor. Number three, write this down, please. Number three is this. Don't practice what the Pharisees did. Don't practice what the Pharisees did. Here's what he says in Luke 11, 43 and 44. And it's amazing. He says to the Pharisees, those people who are arrogant about themselves, he says, what sorrow awaits you, Pharisees? For you love to sit in the seat of honor in the synagogues and receive respectful greetings as you walk into the marketplace. Ladies and gentlemen, you know what's so funny to me? These front row seats here does not mean you're more holy. Come on, somebody. Can we just be real? Just because you sit in the front row don't make you more holy than the next person. You can stand by me all day, but if you don't live in honor, you'll never have God honor you. I could drive you with me all day, hang out with me all day, but you got to honor God first. It isn't a seat. It is a position in heaven that men must desire. Because if you want God to speak to you, honor him. And he will tell me to tell you something. But if you do it to please me, then God don't need to say nothing. You've got your reward. If I say thank you, that's awesome. You're awesome. You're great. Blah, blah. And I stroke your ego. That's what you wanted? Is that really? Come on. Is that really? What we want? People to stroke our egos, but nothing comes from heaven? Bump that. I need God to bring down blessings on me. Hey, you ain't got to tell me nothing. Let me just do it. That's why I love, you know, Brian is one of what I call a servant. Brian, he'll come in, he'll do stuff for me, and he, like many of my people that are around me, because I keep those people around me. He'll do something and won't say nothing. He'll say, okay, you good? I'm gone. Well, I can honor a man like that. Amen. Because he's not looking for a title. He's doing it because he wants God to bless him. Amen. That's why we become servants to one another, that God may bless us. Can I continue? I'm almost done. I know this may be hard, but I want you to hear me because I want you to be successful. I want you to receive your inheritance. But see, one thing about Moses, the servant of the Lord, he knew God's ways. The children of Israel only knew God's acts, what he did with his hands. So I'm trying to give you insight how to get into God's mind versus what you get out of God's hand. Because if you can understand his mind, you will always have his hand. Honor one another. Honor each other. Here's another one we have to do. It's very important that we honor our authorities. Write that down. Honor our authorities. Children, honor your father and your mother. This is the first law with a promise, because he'll give you extra life. Y'all know what that means. You play video games? Now you get an extra man. You spawn again. I mean, you get to live longer when you honor your father and your mother. But look what it says. Authorities don't just mean in the household. I want you to go to Romans 13 and 3. Romans 13 and 3. If you're getting hungry, we have the cafe next door open for you. I can feel it in the atmosphere. Watch this. Paul describes what structure in government and our leadership is there for. It says, for authorities do not strike fear in people who are doing right. If you're under the speed limit, you ain't got to worry about it. For some of y'all with that lead foot, only time you break is when you see that car. Woo, oh, almost got me. Woo, glory. Thank you, Jesus. What if Jesus, he had nothing to do with it. You praising God because you got away with your sin. What? Thank you, Jesus. Woo, that was a close one. Woo. And then y'all like, woo, woo. Y'all looking in the rearview mirror. Woo, woo. Authorities don't strike fear in people who are doing the right thing. Yeah, see, watch this. When I was in college, one thing I did that drove my friends crazy, I kept the speed limit. I seriously did. Why? Because I got convicted because the Lord told me I should follow the authorities. And that meant following the speed limit. So I did, and nobody knew it. I just did it because I honored God. And I'll never forget when I was going through a tough time, I heard the voice of the Lord speak to me, and he read off Isaiah 43. And the words say this, because thou wast honorable in my sight, I will give up the north, the south, the east, and the west for you. I will draw men from all corners of the earth, from all types of people. It was the prophecy of this church. Because I kept the speed limit. Because if I keep that, I'll keep the others. Boy, this is crazy, ain't it? I'm talking about speeding. Watch what it says. But in those who are doing wrong, would you like to live without fear of authorities? Do what is right, and they will honor you. People hate the police. I'm scared of police. I don't trust them. What'd you do wrong? You have no reason to fear. Do what's right. Watch this. Honor. Write this down, please. Honor the marriages around you. That's one you never hear. If you're single and you're in the church and they already have a man or they already have a woman, leave them alone. Just look up in the sky and say, leave him alone. Oh, I didn't hear nobody on that one. That made me nervous. Look up in the sky and say, leave him alone. There we go. I want you to turn to Hebrews 13 and 4. Hebrews 13 and 4. And it says, give honor to marriage and remain faithful to one another in marriage. God will surely judge people who are immoral and those who commit adultery. He's not speaking to just the couples. He's speaking to those who are single. So you have to honor when we come together as brethren that we don't take from one another. Watch this. Give honor to your leaders in ministry. Write that down. Give honor to your leaders in ministry. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 12. And it says, dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Do you see that? When you have leaders that are among you that are working in the Lord, honor them. And I don't just say that because I'm a leader. I'm saying that because it's right. They work hard. There are people that work very hard to give you spiritual food. So honor them for their work's sake. Honor those leaders. And you will find that as you serve them and you honor them, that you get a sense of honor in yourself. You begin to walk with honor. You begin to walk with that kind of honor that God will bless and God will put his hands upon you. I'll do one more and then we'll be done. Give extra honor to those who labor behind the scenes. Give extra honor to those who labor behind the scenes. Ladies and gentlemen, I have to give credit to our parking crew, our greeters, our children's ministry leaders. You don't see them. But you know what? You know what? They work hard behind the scenes for you. There are people in our offices working hard so that you can be blessed. These people deserve extra honor because the ones who's in front and singing and preaching, we get honor. People say, hey, you sounded great. Love the word. We get that. But those behind the scene, they never hear it. And the Bible tells us in this last text, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 24 and 25. We'll close out on this one. Paul uses the idea of the body. And he says, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care, so God has put the body together in such put the body together such that extra honor and care is given to those parts that have less dignity. The man, Nolan, who cleans the toilets 5:30 in the morning. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. men and women, it says, give extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. Their position may not merit the same dignity of a bishop or a preacher or a pastor or a minister or a deacon, but in God's eyes, they deserve double honor. Why? Why would we do that? Watch this. Everyone read the last part. Go. This creates harmony in the church. Because when we acknowledge those people like our kids ministry, where they, because of the lack of volunteers, they have to be in there every Sunday. And we love, hey, kids, go on. Well, wouldn't it be great if we volunteered maybe a Sunday, a month, just because our kids are being ministered to? See, hey, we give you a break to go into service and hear the word. It's honor so that we may have harmony in our church. Ladies and gentlemen, to be the greatest servant means to be the servant of all. And it starts with understanding what honor is. Can we stand to our feet? Honor is so important, both attitude and action. Today, if I didn't mention your position, I want you to know I honor you. If you've done anything in this church, I honor you. If you've given a dime, I honor you. For those of you for my ordination and consecration who gave me a gift, thank you. It was precious to me, my family. The invite, thank you. It means the world to us. But I want you to know you're special to God. And as we honor one another and we love on one another, you'll notice the harmony in our church will grow. The presence of the Lord will increase. And as we stay humble, we will be exalted in due season together.